Some of you know the story. In fact, I may have told all of you the story before. At my age, I just never can remember. But I thought the reason the Lord wanted me to share this with you was for a different reason. And this morning, I said, "Well, Lord, I guess I'm not supposed to share that story." And the Lord said, "No, I impressed that on your heart to share." And as we were worshiping, I said, "You know, well, why would I share that story?" And the Lord said, "Oh, well, here's why. So, I have a story to share with you. And I'll tell you the why before I tell you the story so that you won't miss it when I tell you the story." Ephesians chapter 4 says something that you're very familiar with. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ." I want to tell you a story today how Janae Matthews came to know Christ as her Savior. I want to tell you that story. And I said, "Why, Lord, why do I tell that story?" And he reminded me that I once met a young man who was an evangelist. And he had a different view of being evangelist than I had ever really known, which doesn't mean that much. There's a lot I don't know. But his view of being an evangelist was this: everyone is to evangelize, and the evangelist is to train everyone how to evangelize. He was to share the gospel with for the same reason that you're to share the gospel. But his calling to be an evangelist was to equip the church for works of service. And when I heard that, I thought, now that is an idea I've never heard of before. I tend to have thought, as you have, that if you're an evangelist, you're to evangelize, and if you're not evangelist, praise God for the evangelists. But I want to tell you how Janae Matthews came to know Christ, and I believe what the Holy Spirit is saying to me is, explain how she came to Christ, because you can teach them something. Janae Matthews, 18 years old, was finishing up high school, working at an all-you-can-eat restaurant. She was a beautiful African-American girl, which Deshaun tells me that means she was black, all right? So she was a beautiful, dark-skinned young lady. And I happened to be working at the same all-you-can-eat restaurant. And God blessed me with a boss who was through and through a man of God and had a pastoral gift, and he was my boss. And he just was all about any way that he could hire Christians to be a blessing to the rest of the staff. And so he didn't mind at all that as an evangelist, every chance I got, I was sharing the gospel with my coworkers. So I got to know Janae. And as I worked with Janae, I asked her, as I asked every single employee that I got a chance to, "Have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to be with God in heaven?" Now, that comes from a program called Evangelism Explosion, which is a little course that teaches you how to share the gospel. But that's the first question they teach you to ask. Have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to be with God in heaven? And she said, "I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know." And in that conversation, I had what we call broached the subject. I had brought up the subject of her relationship with God. And the first thing, Christian, if you're going to do your duty and share the gospel with people around you, is you got to bring up the subject. And I'll tell you the truth, the sooner you do it, the better. Because the later and the longer it takes, the more awkward it becomes. Do you realize that? Why all of a sudden is this person talking about spiritual things? I thought this was football. I thought he was my football buddy. The sooner in a relationship you just, I hope you don't mind me asking, but have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to be with God in heaven? The sooner you get over that hump, the better, because you've announced to that person, "I care about these things." And for the rest of your relationship, they're going to see you as a person who cares about such things. If you wait a long time, they think, this person doesn't care about such things. Why are they talking to me about that? So number one, you got to bring up the subject. So I brought it up with her. She didn't know. She kind of hoped so. And I began to ask her questions like, do you believe in God? Yeah, I do. You believe the Bible's true? Yeah. You believe Jesus died for your sins? Yes, I do. I said, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? No. And I thought, that's kind of odd. Well, I brought up the subject. Now I had to figure out what was keeping her from trusting Christ as her Savior, because she believed in God, believed the Bible is true, believed Jesus died for her sins. And so you bring up the subject, then you figure out you got to find out, number two, what's keeping them from trusting Christ as their Savior. So I asked the Lord, Lord, what? And the Lord says, you know, it's kind of obvious, George, and it is to God, of course, and not always to me. She doesn't think she has a problem, so she's not looking for a solution. She doesn't see herself as a sinner, so she's not looking for a Savior. She believes, but she doesn't have a need for what she believes in. So I said, how am I going to show Janae her need for a Savior? And once again, the Lord brought to mind another form of evangelism, another program called The Way of the Master, Ray Comfort, and I borrowed from him. So here I am working with Janae at the restaurant, and we'd go out and we'd take plates and cups off the tables. If nobody needed their plates or cup taken away, we would hang out together in our little corner. And I said, Janae, do you see yourself as a good person? And she said, yeah, I do. I'm a good person. And I said, are you familiar with the Ten Commandments? Yeah, sort of. I said, you know, one of them says, you shall not lie. I said, Janae, have you ever lied? And I actually started off the conversation to give you a little more detail. I said, Janae, have you ever done anything that God should keep you out of heaven for? Have you ever done anything wrong that God should send you to hell for and not to heaven? Oh, no. So you see yourself as a good person. Now I jump back to, the command says, do not lie. Yes. Have you ever told a lie? Yes, I have. What does that make you? A liar. I said, the Ten Commandments say not to steal. Have you ever stolen anything, Janae? Yeah. What does that make you, Janae? And you should have seen her face. A thief. Her face had fallen. And I said, so you're a liar and a thief. Imagine you're working together with this person, but she just admitted it, so I'm fine. And I couldn't leave her there, so all I said next was, aren't you glad Jesus died for your sins? And you know what? For the first time in her life, she was glad that Christ had died for her sins. And I left it alone. Another night or two later, I don't know, it might have been a week later, I'm working with her and I ask her now the third thing. Are you going to trust Christ as your Savior? Do you want to trust Christ as your Savior? She's like, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I will sometime. And so I brought up the subject, number one. Number two, found out what was keeping her, what was her stumbling block from trusting Christ. Now that has been removed, I have to persuade her. Listen to me. I have to urge her. I have to convince her that she needs to make this decision. Are there some decisions you need to make, but you just haven't made them yet in your life? And we all say, yeah. When I get around to it, salvation is no different. So I prayed and asked the Lord, how do I do that? And so, one night I'm talking to her, and I said, Janae, if